We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oregon.
Herbert with a snap back to throw, pump fake, got him wide open at the corner of the end zone, touchdown, Johnny Ames.
Utah.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
Touchdown, Oregon.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three starts on this Football Friday. We got our football Q&A coming up. A lot of Utah, Oregon questions coming in earlier in the show. We'll get to more of them as the show goes on. Get your football Q&A questions in. It's championship day in the Pac-12. 5 o'clock tonight right here on The Fan. Ducks, Utes. All right. We ready to do this? Oh, I found top 100 girl names, too.
Oh, boy.
We're on to it. Lee is going to be it. There's a lot of Kaylee, Haley, Kinsley, Everly.
Like the Everly brothers?
Yeah.
Good music.
Yeah, there's a lot of Lees popping in.
What's
there?
What's the Lee thing? Help me with that. Is it easy to say Lee? Just rolls off your tongue, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Top five girls: Sophia, Olivia, Emma, Ava, Aria. Don't know if I know very many kids named that.
Arya flying up that list after Game of Thrones.
God, my kids are screwed.
Oh, I thought it was after the hotel
Vegas. It's Game of Thrones.
Although, a lot of drunken nights in Vegas.
Although apparently the name Daenerys was flying up the list.
Ooh, Daenerys.
Until people didn't like her as much anymore.
I have a Lee as a kid name, so I should shut up.
You do?
Yeah. Dulce.
Oh, but that's not a Lee.
Well, is it Dulce? An E? It's C-I-E.
No, this is Lee, Kaylee.
She gets called
Kylie.
Dolce all the time anyways. I'm like, all right, this ice cream, I guess.
Ooh,
I
Dolce.
Sweet seed. I don't know.
And Gabbana.
Anyway, but yeah.
All right, let's get to it.
Names are trendy.
Whoa. You okay?
Yeah.
You just like kick up?
I got my coffee.
Oh,
let's
my gosh.
Go.
All right, it's
ready
time.
For some
weekend, would you rather?
Okay, gentlemen, I have...
People are naming their kid Nova?
Like the channel Nova?
Like Supernova?
Like Nova?
64th girl name is Nova. That's a street I lived on in college. Nova Drive.
I used to watch Nova on PBS.
I lived on 3000 Nova Drive.
All right, before we get this thing started, I needed to check the tape. What did you call this segment before we break? Went up to break, Dusty?
Weekend Would You Rather? What'd I call it? Weekend Rather is...
Boom.
One more time, please.
So I didn't have to have all the way pot up. Sometimes words are hard. That was just...
Weekend Rather is... Rather...
Morning drinking. Happens to the best of us.
It's fun.
Anyhow, we have five categories today.
My favorite part is when I stumble over Rather, too, because... Just leave wooden.
There wasn't a lot of explanation for that. I just kind of looked at you, and you didn't look... You looked back. You didn't really miss a beat. I'm like, I don't think you know you said that. Okay, we have when East meets West, although it is also when Eats meets West. We have Down at the Pub. We have A Primal Desire.
Whoa.
We have Maintaining Your Routine. And of course, Florida Man.
Okay, Mr. Cleveland, go.
Maintaining. I'd like to maintain it.
I knew you were going maintaining
routine.
I like
to maintain the routine.
He's a creature of habit.
Well, I think you're going to like this one, Cam. This comes to us from, let's see, where is this gentleman from? Well, it doesn't say where he's from, but the point is he's a 102-year-old World War II veteran. He was asked about his secret to his old age, and he basically said, Coors Light, having one Coors Light a day at least, is the fountain of youth for him. So he says, Sometimes two or three, but every day, 4 o'clock, you got to have one. And that's what he attributes to being 102 years old.
See, that's what I did this morning.
Four.
Wait, how long has Coors Light been around?
4 o'clock.
I don't know.
I just did mine at 4 a.m. Not p.m.
Well, isn't that happy hour? I mean, he's just having a happy hour beverage. He's 102 and he needed credits for it. Well, all right.
He said, quote, I drink more than one a day. Sometimes I have two or three. We've got to have that one at 4 o'clock, though. That's the most important.
So I'm talking
mountains
about.
Mountains are
blue. Yeah. So the question here, though, so he does this, has been doing this every day for, I guess, as long as Coors Light's been around.
1978.
Right.
Doesn't say specifically.
Dialed in, 1978.
Coors Light, 1978.
The question here is, would you rather eat and drink the same thing every day for the rest of your life and reach the age 102, or eat and drink whatever variety you want but only live to be 77?
Same thing, 102. Same thing, 102. I got no problem. I eat the same thing every day. I got no problems about it. Yeah, variations, but yeah, same thing.
Nah, I'm going, this may be controversial here. I don't want to live to 102.
You don't?
Like, no. No. I mean, like, what is the quality of life when you're that old? I mean, I know
still
there is...
Still enjoy a Coors Light every
there
day.
There is the
obviously a Coors
outlier.
Light.
There is the outlier who is, like, this vivacious 102-year-old that's running in track meets and stuff. But for the most part, you look at 100-year-old people and you're like, man, that's some tough living you got right now. So
yeah.
I'll go ahead and enjoy the life I have.
I think about someone who's 102 today means they were born in 1917. Think about what they have seen.
Yeah, man.
That is, I mean, they've gone from the Titanic to where you're now having electric cars and we're not, I mean, it's just insane what you've seen. I would have loved to be able to just, yeah, the change that you get to see, that's the best part, the history.
Yeah.
Mobile phones. Can you imagine waking up in 1919 going, we're going to talk on these mobile phones.
I read
a mobile phone thing.
I read this to Buck the other day after the show. There was a guy in, 1951 who worked for a phone company who was saying, I think it was to you.
I remember this.
He said, and it was in a newspaper article, that he said, I see the future of our phones as something that you can take anywhere you want. You may be even able to talk to people on, like, a wristwatch, the size of your wristwatch.
Oh, Dick Tracy.
Or you'll be able to see them while you're talking to them.
Yeah.
That was, like, back in the 50s talking about the future of where phones are going to go.
Look at that.
Jeez.
Where do you want to go?
Oh.
East meets West, down at the pub, a primal desire of Florida man. Down at the pub. This comes to us from England, of course, where, let's see... Basically a wife, Jane Tapper, decided that she was tired of her husband going out to the pub and hanging out with his friends all the time. So they built a pub at home where she basically makes him stay and all the friends have to come over there. And that way he's not leaving and staying out late all night.
What a great wife.
Yeah, I mean,
that's fantastic.
So her husband's 53. He's an engineer, loves going down to the local pub every night, and she could never keep him in the house. So she got to thinking, why not create the pub here?
A great idea.
This is in Worcestershire, England, or something like that.
That seems like there's a lot of liability issues there.
Yeah,
it's called the Doghouse Inn, which is
like
a little bit
in
clever.
The doghouse. I see what he's doing there.
Yeah. The question here,
have
though,
couches in there.
Is would you rather eat and, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong one. Would you rather never be able to leave your house but eat and drink for free, or leave your house whenever you want but pay double what the public pays?
Oh.
So I never leave my house? Like I'm on house arrest?
Yeah, no, essentially.
Oh, yeah, I'll double up. I'm paying.
I'll double up.
I'll triple up.
Get me out. Get me out.
I don't want to do that. I don't.
I don't either, but the thought of essentially having your own bar and not having to pay for it, pretty good.
And by the way, this is only going to last for so long because although this is a great gesture by his wife to keep him home, he was leaving to get away. And he will be like, all right, this sucks again. I'm leaving to get away.
Yeah, is she get to go in the pub with them?
Yeah, there's photos of them all hanging out together, laughing, chortling.
It's not boys' night out if she's there.
It's true. No, it's not.
You can't just walk out your back door and go boys' night out.
Yeah.
And she's probably got cameras in there and
she's
microphones.
Turn that into her she shed.
Oh, dear.
Is her name Cheryl?
Yeah.
Nobody burn down your she
Jane
shed,
Tapper.
Cheryl.
I don't. Okay. I would like...
You got East meets West, Primal Desire, or Florida Man?
Where the heck do you think I'm going? I'm going full primal. My primal instincts.
Well, this comes to us because the primal desire of one tiger in India, they tracked him walking a record 800 miles for sex. He decided...
I would walk...
Yeah, well, except sub it for 800, but
800.
Basically,
how did they track this guy 800 miles?
It says a heartsick tiger traveled a whopping 800 miles in search of his soulmate for a 5-month-long procreation pilgrimage that marked the longest walk ever recorded by a tiger in India, according to researchers. So I don't know how the researchers did it, but they did. And then the article goes on to say, these are the exact words, the horny 3-year-old, dubbed C1 by scientists, embarked on his record-breaking journey at a wildlife sanctuary in June, and he finally just finished his trip up now.
I love this. It says Tiger Woods is playing golf in India. Go, Tiger, go. Great text.
Well done. The question here, though, is would you rather walk 800 miles for sex or just stay celibate for a year?
Oh, for a year. Well, 800 miles? 800 miles?
800 miles. So you get
so that's like walking to, how far is that?
Probably
San Francisco?
Like,
nope, farther.
Oh, that's further. That's
LA. Santa Clara is like 650.
That's LA. That's walking to LA.
Yeah.
Ooh, that must be, for that 3 minutes, I'm telling you. Might be pushing it.
But you have to remember, like, in cat years, so this is like
in
a teenager.
Cal, we're invoking cat years.
Yeah, no, this is a teenager. You're telling me that a teenager wouldn't try to walk from Portland to L.A.?
See, this is perspective. As a 40-year-old man, I got no problems hanging out for a year. No worries at all. As a teenager.
But I'm not asking Dusty and Cam the teenagers. I'm asking Dusty and Cam the adults.
This is a straight 40s answer.
Oh.
Just put golf, a beverage, and a comfortable bed.
See you next year.
Yeah, see you next year.
Bye, guys.
See you next year. Priorities are priorities here.
Oh, Buck, you're not married with kids yet. You're married. You don't have the kids yet.
Lots of practice.
East meets West or Florida
Man? Florida
Man! Okay, this comes to us from Cape Coral, Florida, where one Florida man punched another Florida man in the back of the head while he was checking out at a Walmart because he was taking too long. At least that's what his wife said. So, would you rather get punched in the head once a year in the checkout line or have to go to the back of the line anytime someone thought you were taking too long?
What constitutes taking too long?
The other person simply
just
thinking
says
you're taking too long.
I mean, and I have to go to the back of the line.
It is the ultimate annoyance of if someone even thinks you're spending more time than you should be, you just got to go to the back automatically.
I'm in and out, man. I don't think anybody's thinking
that. One unexpected punch in the head.
A year. No, I'm
one
not going
punch
back
per
line.
Year?
In the checkout line.
As long as it's an old man doing it, I'll take the punch.
Yeah, I'll take the punch.
I'll take the punch.
I highly doubt when I'm at the checkout line, people are going to be like, he's taking too long. I am ready when I get up there.
Greatest invention of all stores is the self-checkout line. Greatest thing ever. If you're not a part of the self-checkout line board, get on board.
The one thing I don't like about that is that when I either can carry the thing out, the groceries out myself, or if I have my own bag, and they're like, place it in the bagging area. I'm like, I don't need it to be in the bagging area. I'm just going to walk away with it.
Make sure you're not stealing it, Buck. It's security purposes, Ryan.
I know, but then you got to move stuff around. They're like, hold on, put your stuff back there. You're like, no, but I need to make more room.
But then they have Florence, who's like 73, working as the supervisor there, where it's like,
Florence,
you're not stopping me if I run out of here anyway, Flo.
Yeah, see, I'm even more impressed. I mean, I like the little checkout gun. Go to Home Depot.
Oh,
they got
see,
the
yeah,
checkout
that,
gun.
That
they don't have the scanner.
Awesome.
They have the checkout gun. So I can just leave it in my cart.
Yep.
Choo-choo, checkout gun. Choo-choo, let's go.
Apparently, that's the new thing that everyone loves with wedding registries. You just get a gun. You walk around a Crate and Barrel. And like, I want that. I want that. I want that. I
want that. Want that.
Finally, East meets West. We got to get to this one because Papa John's opened up in Seoul, South Korea, and they unveiled an American pizza. This pizza included hot dog and potatoes on every slice.
Ew.
Yeah. There were
American pizza too.
There are American commenters and bloggers there that said it's the most disgusting thing they've ever seen.
It's very English.
Wait, no.
Where's it at?
Bangers and
it
mash.
It was in South Korea.
Ooh.
Definitely not England.
It says that the pizza includes, let's see, besides the hot dogs, the pizza, there's one hot dog on every slice, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Like lengthwise. So.
Oh, so it's not cut up?
No, it's one hot dog laid down on the slice of pizza.
Dear Lord.
And then it says the pizza also comes topped with chili salsa sauce, mozzarella cheese, cheddar potato mousseline, onions, Dijon mustard sauce, pickle relish, and parsley.
It's not American.
No, it isn't.
No, that's not.
I mean, that is what people think America is. Those like, hey, they're fat. They'll just eat everything.
Just put all this hot dog crap on there.
Put it all on there.
Well,
we do put it out there.
Yeah. Just
go to a ballpark.
Here.
Question here is, would you rather have every slice of pizza come with a hot dog on it or every hot dog come with marinara sauce on it?
Oh. Are we talking like the
hot dog with marinara? It's closer than what I normally would get. Yeah, I'm going hot dog with marinara. Because I eat way more pizza, too.
Way more pizza.
Like, how many times do you eat hot dogs?
Save the pizza!
Like, not even a cut-up hot dog, so I got to stare at this wiener-like thing that I got to bite into?
That's exactly right.
That's a drop. That's a drop.
Stare at it.
I'm going to go marinara. Got to go there. I don't want to get off my pizza.
See, if it doesn't have all those other things, I think I'll take the hot dog on the pizza. It's no different than having...
Stop.
A sausage or pepperoni on there?
No, that's a big difference, dude. Have you seen it?
It's a big difference. Flavor-wise, it's not.
It's a big difference.
Marinara does not make a hot dog a hot dog. You could still have pizza taste like pizza with a hot dog laid across the top of it.
I just stop eating hot dogs.
It's just bologna, man. That is just bologna in a circle.
I'm not saying it's great. I'm just, you know, I think I'd go the other way.
Football Q&A, you got questions? We've got answers. Text them to us, 55305. The better you today. Text on Dustin Cam on the Fan. Football Q&A. You got questions. We got answers, folks. Send them to us. 55305. The better you today. Text sign. How much does it cost to get into the Pac-12 championship game? Right, Meow?
Well, sir, you can get in for a mere $32.88. That is the lowest ticket you can get in. And if you'd like to go to the SEC game, you would have to pay a whopping $255.
Oh, dear God.
To get in. And now this system is going to ACC will hold at $46 currently. The Big Ten championship game, you can get in for $49.89. And the Big 12 is $55.96. So, yes, they do care more in SEC land.
All right. If they moved the SEC game to Santa Clara on a Friday night, when it's going to be rainy and 39 mile an hour winds, how many people would show up?
They'd fill the stadium.
You think so?
Yes. They like, care.
If they so it'd be you have to fly all the way.
Care.
You'd have to fly all the way across the country.
Yeah.
Sit in the rain, the cold, and the wind.
But it is a big advantage. Trust me, it's a big advantage that most of the SEC games you can drive to.
Yes.
That's a big issue.
Huge.
With the Pac-12 is massive. It's the biggest conference when it comes to travel space. We just don't have that kind of luxury here, so you got to fly everywhere. It would be cool. But if you're going to make it one place, Vegas will make a difference. But you're right. I mean, yeah. I mean, no. They don't care where it's at.
No.
They don't care.
55305, better you today. Text on football Q&A. Here's a question. You know, I'm worried about fumbling tonight. In the Pac-12 championship game in those field conditions, why doesn't Travis Dye wear gloves?
That's a great question. You'd have to ask him.
And it is an interesting question, but it's also, when it's rainy out, not wearing gloves is actually probably a better option.
Could be. Some of the gloves get a little bit tackier. It's more about the football. It's comfort. Some guys like to feel the ball a little bit closer to their skin. Yeah. It's really about how you hold it. There's lots of different ways. You got to make sure that you carry that football, and if you're carrying it with two hands, that's the biggest misnomer. If you watch guys, the proper way to carry a football with two hands is not to hold it in the middle of your chest and wrap the ball over the top. So if I could describe that to you, imagine putting the ball in the middle of your chest, putting your right hand on top and cupping the left side nose of the ball, and then putting your left hand under and grabbing the left or the right side nose of the ball. So now you're holding it and you look like you're carrying it like the old school way. The proper way to actually carry the ball with two hands is actually to put it in your right armpit and carry it like they always do. And then put your left hand over the top if you're right-handed, and that's your dominant side. So you actually have multiple points trapped in that section. That's the proper way to carry it. We'll see if those guys follow that.
Here's one from P1 Unit. As a rookie, how long did it take to memorize your playbook?
Oh my God, that was a long time ago. I only have to look. See, I'm a different kind of learner, so everybody learns differently. I'm not a photographic memory, but I only have to look at it once. So I don't have to go over and over again. So
that sounds photographic.
No, it's not just photographic. It's just I memorize the concept, so I don't get caught up in just what each and I do. So it really depends on the type. But some guys are super visual learners. Others have to have repetition and repetition. So it really depends on what type of learner. It's just like school. Some guys can learn quickly, and they have to physically feel it. Others need to rep it over and over and over and over again to understand it.
So one day.
Yeah, I think you could. No, most guys can learn, and it depends on the depth of your playbook. There's a lot of factors that go in, but I've said it before. Mike Martz would have 400 pass plays and 200 runs in every week. So it can take you probably three. It's a 2-week process before you really can get the full depth and understanding of an entire offense easily.
2 to 3 weeks is it?
Yeah,
because it seems like guys take a lot longer when you're talking. The quarterbacks.
Well,
is that
quarterbacks
just your
are
position?
A whole different gambit, whole different deal.
Yeah, yeah. This text says, Oh my gosh, where'd it go? Does weather training and practicing at high altitude make a difference in conditioning, at least at the collegiate level?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
100%. 150,000,000%.
You know what's dumb though is that the research shows that like going there for a couple of days before a game doesn't actually help you. You have to like live there. So Utah Advantage, they live in Salt Lake City, which is a high elevation. The research backs up that if like, for example, who played in the Mexico City game? Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chargers went up to Denver for like 3 days. That doesn't help you. You have to live there.
Well,
your body changes.
I can tell you, I've played at BYU and Utah a couple times, and then when we flew back and had practice on Monday, the next day I could run forever. So I didn't get tired. Now, the adjustment? Maybe personally, that was what my body felt, but to really make a significant difference over time, if that was true, Denver would win the Super Bowl every time.
Yeah, that's right. If they raise ticket price for the Pac-12 title game to Silicon Valley prices, would more people go from deal? Oh,
I guess.
It's like an elite event.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Say that it's networking and everyone's giving out like a Patagonia vest and then boom, everyone will show up.
That's kind of what the Warriors turned into is like they got people thinking that had no interest in basketball whatsoever. And they would be like, all right, they'd buy season tickets.
A place to
and
go
they
and
wouldn't
be
show
seen,
up.
Place
like
to
that,
take a client.
That guy that we were talking about at the beginning of basketball season who got popped he called himself out because he moved to LA. He went to every game for like free, sat courtside.
By the way, isn't it a little deflating, Buck, that a team that moves into a new building just has such a one of these seasons where you go like, oh, it's supposed to be great. Look at everything we built. And then they're just like, bleh.
It's not good. It's not good.
How much did that building cost?
A lot.
Of course, it's in San Francisco. Don't question that.
Close to a billion, right?
For a basketball stadium?
Because it's on the wharf, too.
It's right on the water. It's also supposed to be this like epic concert venue, too. Yeah. I mean, it's all the bells and whistles.
I mean, a basketball arena versus football arena. I mean, it's like...
That's right. Everybody's taking a sabbatical. You'll be fine next year. sabbatical
just
year
so they can get
the
number one pick.
Yeah.
Well, at least top five.
Yeah.
All right, 55305, more football Q&A, and looking at the Ducks and the Utes tonight. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. We do our football Q&A. We were talking about playbooks, how long it takes to memorize, and this text comes in. Do y'all think the switch to the pistol and multiple systems Justin Herbert's had to learn under has had a negative impact on his college development? That's a good question, because he came in as a Helfrich guy, and he was running that system, and then he had Willie Taggart's Gulf Coast offense, which isn't a far cry from what he's in right now with Marcus Arroyo, but there are variations to all three of those offenses.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think that anytime you have to change and adjust and don't sit in and feel comfortable, when guys flourish, they always get comfortable in a system. That's Patrick Mahomes. That's Russell Wilson. That's that ability. But this is the collegiate level. It's still hard for these guys. And concepts change and philosophies change. But coaching and what they're telling them, that's kind of what I'm very curious about, what it's like to be Justin Herbert and what they're saying in those meetings. But that's between them and their coaches. and you could see it, and it affects you on the field.
That is one that is head scratcher to me about maybe his ideas around football have been clouded, right? Does that make sense? Like, you get so many different philosophies, and philosophically, coaches are so different based on your offense and what you do that there have been times where it just kind of looks like his head is spinning, but he's been with Arroyo for 2 years now, which makes you think that, like, he should be settling in. I think we saw that at times a lot last year with some indecisiveness, too. He looks a lot more decisive this year.
You know, I was asked a question early in the show back in the P1 Social. Since we're revisiting, I wanted to bring it up. I don't know if this person is still listening, but he mentioned about how Joey talked about with Primetime last night about the coaches in the NFL compared to collegiate coaches, and this said, Cam, what was your experience when it came to coaching and expectations of you? Do you feel like they helped you get better or expected you to come in that they can mold? How would you compare your best coaches throughout your career? I will say this, and it is wholehearted, and you can believe this. It is the best coaches are in college. And it's not that it's close, is that there's a connection to developing a player. There's a real specific connection in how you develop an athlete, but how you develop a young man that is there and teach them under the skills and the tutelage that you've learned as a coach. The NFL is it's a business. But there's more good old boys that, hey, I got my buddy that's a buddy that's here, and the best coaches are usually the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator. You get a couple good position coaches, but you look at Bill Belichick's son, who was raised in it. Not that he's a bad coach. It is very incestual in the NFL. It is. It just is. I mean, I could probably come up with a better term, but it's the coaches you always want to learn from the most are going to be collegiately. I learned the most I've ever learned from one coach, and that was Mike McCarthy. And then, of course, it's few and far between that you get a very good coach in the NFL. You get a lot of kind of good old boys and guys that are falling. I had coaches fall asleep. My whole rookie year, I didn't learn a thing. I didn't learn nothing. Nothing. And I had Mike Ditka as a Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame tight end. You know, his best advice was you gotta punch the guy right in the gut when he gets you. I'm like, that's your coaching tip? Like, all right.
Do you think that's changing in the NFL now, though, because of the fact that you see the influx of young coaches that are getting the head coaching opportunities? And, like, it seems to me that there are more flyers being taken than there were before. Yeah, right?
There is, but development of who you are as a pro, you're going to be who you are as a pro when you get there. Okay. You know whether you got in the first, every coach will tell you this 100% once they draft you. And they put you in that first game, and you have 4 games of film. They know exactly if they got you or not. Russell Wilson came out of the gate, and he showed it to you. You know if you got a winner or not. I can't coach you into great hands, DK Metcalf. We knew you didn't have great hands. We knew you're going to be an occasional playmaker, but you're not going to be a 120-catch-a-year guy. You're not going to be an 80-catch-a-year guy. You're going to make a couple big plays. You're going to be a big body target.
And a vertical threat.
Yeah. But we know what we have in the first 4 games of your career done whatsoever. If you can stay healthy, you can't. Developing comes with, you're a pro, man. It's on you. After you get to the league, it is 100% on you. You can have a couple good coaches, but your talent, like an Aaron Rodgers or a Brady or all that stuff, comes into your heart, your desire, and whether you're going to work like a pro.
It sounds like it's like they know if you can hang in those first 4 games, it's on you if you can evolve.
100% on you. At that
if
level,
you
you're paid.
To a
you need
player.
To act like one. You need to do it. Just ask what, Rashad Penny was asked, be a pro, take care of your body, study more, and do the things you need to do. And then he has responded by making that change and has had more success. It's that simple. Or you could go down the Eddie Lacy route.
Text 55305, the Better You Today text line. How do the Ducks stop Tyler Huntley tonight? Huntley has had a wildly efficient season this year. I mean, he has been...
He's the best quarterback in the conference.
We've gone over how many games that he has had. I believe it was like 6 or 7 games that he's had 5 or fewer incompletions in the game.
Yeah.
He does not throw a lot. We'll put it out there. His season high in attempts is 30, which he has done twice. He has been under 20 in a majority of their games. If you look down, I mean, he has been 17, 18, 17, 19, 17, 19, 19, 16. They want to run the football. Mm-hmm. And he is a guy that, I mean, golly, he can run the football.
Yep.
Quite often.
Very versatile.
And that's going to be the wild card in this game, is how much does the weather affect the ability to keep Utah to keep Oregon honest. And that will be a huge factor in this game. And we were talking about this earlier. We can't figure out who it benefits more, the rain, because you both teams will be able to commit more guys to the box, but it also takes away a lot of their play action game, which both these offenses rely on heavily.
If CJ Friedel can get started, he's electric.
And stay started.
He can. But Zach Moss is just as good. I mean, he is big, and they can pound, and they can be just as physical. He has that kind of run game. CJ can take a couple hits, and then he's going to be electric. But if you pop him a couple times, he's been known to get hurt a little. And we know that Justin Herbert's not going to run. That's already been established. He's not going to just suddenly change and decide to run this game.
Well, why would you?
Why would you run? You're 6'6". I mean, 6'6" guys can't run. Those of you that heard, you would understand that came from yesterday. Tyler Huntley can make plays, too. This is going to be on those two. And the offensive line for Utah, that's what I said, this comes down to the trenches, and you got to be able to adjust. When it gets wet, what are teams have to be able to do? Take care of the football, so don't turn it over.
Travis Dye does scare me with the fumbleitis. I think we may see a little bit heavier load with Cyrus Habibi-Leikio out of the backfield for Oregon as well. But CJ Verdell and that stinger, man, that is a scary, scary deal, because he can get going against anyone. But when you have a hard-hitting team like Utah, boy, I hope he can stay in the game, because he is a difference maker. Mm-hmm. He is that workhorse back that this team has needed desperately. And stingers are no joke. They can keep you out for a long time.
No, they don't go away during a regular season.
And it ain't a play through it type deal.
Mm-mm. Well, it takes your whole arm goes numb. Like you can't even grab anything. It's just down and just burns. It just feels like someone's just hitting. Legitimately, you're pinching a nerve inside your neck and your spine.
Yeah. Deal. Chiming in on the coaching thing. Makes sense on why all the guys from Miami returned to the U in the offseason to train to get better coaching. Who trains the Mannings? A college coach does. Yep. Yeah, they go to Cutcliffe all the time. And if you look at it, the top quarterbacks in the country every year go to that Manning Passing Academy, where they can get those tips kind of passed along to them, not via Cutcliffe specifically. But that dude is a guru. Daniel Jones, Eli Manning. Look at the long list of Tennessee quarterbacks that he had there that he turned into pros.
That's a bad statistic, buddy.
That is, buddy. Mm-hmm. He's a dang good coach. Talk about a guy who got a raw deal. He got a raw deal at Ole Miss when he's a coach there.
Happens in the SEC.
Jeez.
Him and Hugh Freeze, huh?
Hugh Freeze had hookers.
Allegedly?
Nope. They proved that.
Yeah.
They proved that with the state cell phone.
Now he and Jerry Falwell Jr. RIP, the original Jerry Falwell. Now he's going to get like $4 million from Liberty.
And coaching from a hospital bed.
Yeah. That was a thing this year.
One of the great memes of the college football season was
laying on a bed.
What's his name? Oh my gosh. Syracuse coach. What's his name?
Dano Babers.
Dino Babers.
Dano.
Book him, Dano.
Dino.
Dino Babers and Hugh Freeze doing the air knuckles from across
air
the field.
Air knuckles.
Oh, gosh. All right. Predictions. Oregon, Utah, Pac-12 championship. Got to put a bow on this show and get you set for the rest of the day on the Fan, which is a whole lot of Ducks, Utes coverage. It is 6:43. Folks, working for the weekend, and it's Pac-12 championship weekend. Buck just told me in my ear that Jared Jones dropped a BS on his radio show hit on our sister station 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Oh, did he?
So that will be an interesting drop to hear in what context that happened.
Did they get it on the dump button fast enough?
I have
enough?
No idea. I wouldn't imagine so, because Mike Florio just tweeted it out. So somebody heard it.
Well, that's like
wonderful.
Us. Our delay and our dump button is only if you're listening on the radio, and Florio is streaming it, so I'm assuming that
that's
streaming...
not bad, then.
Huh?
Streaming is, you can swear all you want streaming.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to drop a swear word right now, Buck will dump it and the FCC won't fine us because none of the people in their cars will hear it, but yeah. Everybody on the radio.com app will.
Yeah, they will.
I'm sure that wouldn't go well with our bosses, but...
We should probably try to avoid that generally speaking.
Do that every day. I try to avoid that every day. It's very difficult.
Speak for yourself. All right, we've got Pac-12 championship game tonight. Ducks, Utes, right here on the Fan, 5 o'clock. Coverage starts at noon with the coach's show, Mario Cristobal, Anthony Newman, and myself. Ducks, game day live, 1-3. And then we hand it over to Jerry, Jorgie, Joey, and Jones.
So you're going on from what time? You're coming back here what?
1-3.
What's Dirt doing?
Postgame.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He gets a day off.
Who's doing it at 12? What are we doing at 12?
I just said coach's show, Mario Cristobal.
Oh, I'm not listening.
But yeah, that's
the whole day's all messed up. You know, the regular crowd.
I know.
Isaac and Sue get to sit at home. Sue bringing in strep throat.
Do you have it?
That's 7-9.
Did
BS
you catch
is
it?
What that is.
Well, he's not contagious, is he?
But he did. He came in here with strep throat.
That is 7-9.
How long are you contagious with that?
I don't know.
I thought you weren't contagious for very long with that.
Doesn't matter.
It just hurts. Hurts the throats. Yeah, okay, sounded like he was he was like the plumber knocking on the door in an
adult film.
There's
a very
film.
Clear timeline with once you start antibiotics when you are no longer contagious. I just have no idea where he was on that timeline.
Yeah.
I think Isaac is he's unveiled that the fact that he came in prior and he was contagious. He was coming in with bringing it in.
What a jerk. Yeah. What a jerk. All right. Pac-12 championship game. What do you think tonight?
What do you think?
Answer a question with a question.
Yeah. Retort this right back at you. Bounce right back. You know, this is Buck's big duck guy.
So what I've been doing every week is even if I think the Oregon Ducks might not win, I give a winning score anyways. Yeah. So I will say that Oregon finds a way to pull this one out 23-20.
I'm going back and forth on this because we've talked about this. I can't figure out which team it benefits the most to have the elements the way they are, whether it is Oregon or it is Utah. Because if both these coaches had their druthers, they would want you to play in a phone booth, right? They would want that to happen. And
good coach fight, by the way. Wouldn't this be a great coach
fight?
Yes,
it would be. This is the fight of all fights.
Great coach fight.
It's Cristobal winning it, though. Winningham is strong and tough, but remember,
I know
who is trained in the martial arts.
I know. That's a tough one. This is a tough call.
It's Cristobal.
Super tough guys, though. These are big tough guys.
There's no coaching matchup in the conference championship weekend can bench press more than the Pac-12. So take that, SEC. Mm. Well, I don't know. Ed Orgeron.
Ed-O.
Dear God, he's big, too.
Yeah.
But Kirby Smart he's not pulling his weight in that one.
Jeremy Pruitt? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, but Tennessee sucks, so just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that I'm going to go with Oregon on this one just because of the fact that we've seen Utah on this stage before, and it kind of does turn into if it can go wrong, it will go wrong type things, right? Oregon has let down on a big stage as well, right? If we're being honest, first game of the season was the biggest stage they had. They let it down, and they had a massive letdown. But I believe that Oregon is better on the defensive line than what Utah's offensive line is. In their front seven, they can win that matchup, especially if you're one-dimensional, not having the ability to throw the ball deep in 30-mile-an-hour driving winds like they're expecting. Give me Oregon in a tight one. I like Bucks 23-20 a lot, but I'll go 24-21. Maybe a little extra scoring there. It's not going to be a high-scoring game by any means.
Yeah, the weather's going to be a big-time factor. I feel like Utah is the better football team, but I don't think this is going to be, I wouldn't bet enough money to even, because I don't gamble on it, but I don't feel comfortable that Utah is going to walk in this game. I really don't. And we're not giving enough credit. I don't think the national narrative is probably going to give enough credit to Oregon because they are very, very good. Very good, or they wouldn't be here. They've been in these situations before. How many Pac-12 championships? This would be their third in this decade. So this team can win this game. I think it's really ugly, guys. I think it's as ugly as it was last year. I really do. There's two good defenses, maybe a couple. There's going to be two turnovers in this game that are going to be massively significant. And the other thing is who's got the better kicking game? Because it's going to come down to punts and field goals.
It is not Oregon.
It is not.
Well, punter might be Oregon.
I mean, he's an Aussie, right? Isn't he an Aussie? No, Utah's, yeah. I'm going 19-17 Utah.
All right. Well, I mean, I could see it happening like that, too. It's not going to be a high-scoring game by any stretch. What do you think of the Big 12 championship game? This is the other one the Pac-12 fans should have their eye on, Baylor-Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma rolls them. And I think Ohio State smokes them. I think LSU is going to smoke Georgia. And I certainly think Clemson is going to win.
Yeah.
I have an update on Jerry Jones.
What do you got?
Somebody tweeted, I'd imagine the show ran out of dump time from dumping his cuss words so much. When you run out of dump time, the phone just turns off. 105.3 The Fan retweeted, yep, that's exactly what happened. Jerry's back on now. So they had to dump him so many times, it cut off his phone, and they had to get it back on the phone. This, according to the this was retweeted by Radio.com Sports.
There you go. That's the leader. Billion-dollar leader. America's brand. Yeah.
Well, after last night, I'd be swearing, too.
Stable leadership.
I want to hear this uncensored interview.
Yeah, I know. Could you imagine being the host over there just going, oh, my God. Oh,
it's a clown show
this
down there.
This is gold.
It's a clown show.
All right. We'll be back Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 1, The Coach's Show, Mario Cristobal. 1 to 3, Anthony Newman and myself, Ducks Game Day Live. And then 3 till 5, Jerry, Jorgie, Joey, and John's on the Ducks pregame show. And 5 o'clock kickoff, Oregon, Utah, Pac-12 championship game. Have a great weekend. See you Monday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.